streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome back to The Herd. I'm Joy Taylor, filling in for Colin Cowherd. He is enjoying time with the family this weekend for Christmas. I'm joined by Alex Curry. We're rocking our holiday colors today. I'm serving rich auntie on the holidays.
Oh, I love it. We're full Christmas. Christmas came early today for us and everyone listening and our outfits, so you're welcome.
We'll talk to Rick Bucher in just a moment about the Christmas Day NBA games. Yeah, I'm fully into Christmas this year. I'm not a Grinch usually, but Thanksgiving is more of my favorite holiday
Halloween,
holiday. Well, yeah, obviously I love Halloween. It's my high holiday.
Yeah.
But Thanksgiving of the holiday season. Yeah, I don't know if people consider Halloween to be part of the holiday season.
It's a start.
Yeah. Everyone doesn't acknowledge Halloween.
Okay.
Actually, a short joy story. The reason that I am so obsessed with Halloween is I was never a trick-or-treater. I was never allowed to trick-or-treat.
What?
Yeah, my dad thought it was like the devil's holiday or something.
What?
And so we would do...
It was the Day of the Dead, so...
It's a little bit much. Like, it's okay. Let us go get some candy. He never let us trick or treat. So we would go, church people know about this. We'd do like the harvest party, which was like you go to church and like you get candy, but it's not the same.
No.
So now I'm obsessed with Halloween. Anyway, no one cares about that. But my childhood is very weird. So we'll get to Rick Bucher in just a moment. There's a lot of NBA games tomorrow, a lot of NBA stories, and a lot of stuff going on with the variant that's making things very difficult for all of these leagues. But this weekend in the NFL, we have a great slate of games. It was a little weird last week with all the movement and, you know, it was strange. But we're back on track and we have some great games this weekend. So before I debut this, I do this on my Saturday show. One of our listeners on the Saturday show picked the name of this. I did not think about how close it was to Blazing Five. Colin does Blazing Five on Fridays. So this isn't Blazing Five. This is my favorite five. So trust me, I know how close it is. That was not intentional. All right, well, let's start with the Browns and the Packers. The Cleveland Browns are traveling to Green Bay to play the Packers, who are great at home. They are 6-0, and I think they will be 7-0 after this weekend. The Packers are favored by 7.5, which feels about right. I do think that they will cover. The Browns are coming off of a really bad COVID week. They're getting a lot of people back. They have 8 starters on the COVID list, though. The ones that could return is Baker Mayfield, Case Keenum, Kareem Hunt, Jarvis Landry, Jedrick Wills, Jadeveon Clowney, and Greg Newsome. The Browns have been held to under 20 points in 4 of their last 5 games. This has been a year where Baker has really struggled, and Aaron Rodgers has done the opposite of that. He is leading the MVP race. They are the best team in the NFC and have the best record in the NFL. They have the fewest giveaways, the Packers 10, and the second best turnover differential, plus 12 this season, and have scored 30 straight points in 4 straight games, which is the longest active streak in the NFL. Otherwise known as a major mismatch. I do think that Cleveland will be very desperate in this game, which they should be, the way that the AFC North is playing out. But I think the Packers win this convincingly. However, I am still interested to see what Baker and the Cleveland Browns do. The Colts at the Cardinals. Now, the Colts are 8-3 over their last 11 games, and they lead the NFL with a plus 14 turnover differential. They have the number one scoring offense since week 4. 31.1 points per game. Jonathan Taylor is the story of this team. He's been incredible. He's getting a lot of talk for MVP, as he should. He is remarkable. Leads the NFL in carries, rushing yards, rushing touchdowns, scrimmage yards, and scrimmage touchdowns. Very impressive. While the Cardinals, who were tearing the league up, are 3-4 in their last 7 games after starting 7-0. Kyler Murray has struggled. 3 touchdowns, 5 interceptions in the last 4 games since returning from his injury, so maybe he's not 100%, but they need this win desperately. The Colts run the ball really well, obviously, with Jonathan Taylor, and have a lot of great pieces and are playing really well, very complete football. So this is a great matchup I'm looking forward to this weekend. Bills at Patriots. We just talked about Mac Jones with Nick Wright. The Patriots beat the Bills 14-10 on the road. That was a notorious game where Mac McCorkle Jones had 3 passing attempts. I don't think that the Bills are going to prepare for a game like that again. But Bill Belichick, he owns the Bills. We know Aaron Rodgers, he owns the Bears. Well, Bill Belichick owns the Bills. 36-8 career record against the Bills. That's the most wins against any opponent. And the Patriots have the number 2 scoring offense since week 7. However, I do think this will be a much more competitive game. I think it will look much differently than the one that they played earlier in the season. Mac Jones leads all the rookies in wins and completion percentage. And I do think that the Bills need this game more than the Patriots. So I think they will bring all their best stuff. It will be very close. The spread is Patriots minus 2. I think I'm going to go with the Patriots there, but I think this is going to be a great matchup. Ravens at Bengals. So the AFC North is completely wide open. It's anyone's division. Essentially, every game from this point out for all of these teams is a playoff game. The Bengals are favored by 3, and the winner of this game will be first in the AFC North. But the Ravens are coming off of 3 straight losses, and 2 of them have come off of failed 2-point conversions. Everybody loves those. I like a little aggressive, okay? No one's ever described me as being not aggressive. But maybe the 2-point thing is not your thing. The Bengals beat the Ravens 41-17 on the road in week 7, and Joe Burrow leads the NFL with 15 touchdown passes of 20 or more yards. I think this is the Bengals game. Also, we don't know what the situation is with Lamar Jackson as well. So if you're paying close attention to this game, you're going to need to watch that throughout the weekend. And you got to sneak it in. I got to sneak it in. I know everybody's not really hype about this, but I'm very excited for Dolphins and Saints. The Dolphins are on a 6-game winning streak. Okay? They're looking to become the first team in NFL history to win 7-plus consecutive games, immediately following a losing streak of 7 games. They have the number 3 scoring defense and number 2 total defense during their streak. Tua, playing really well, leads the NFL with 69.9 completion percentage. Tua and Mahomes are the only 2 quarterbacks to win each of their last 5 games. That's good company. Now, I know the Saints are really banged up. They have a lot of COVID issues, and their top 2 quarterbacks are out. But that's actually why I'm interested in this, because Ian Book is probably going to start. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get to see Ian Book this weekend against the Dolphins. And the Saints are coming off of a shutout of the Bucs. Not the prettiest game. It's a little bit of a rough watch. Yeah. But the Saints have Brady's number, so their defense is still incredibly competitive. And I'm looking forward to this Monday night game. So that's my favorite five. Not the Blazing Five. My favorite five. I can't believe how close that was. I don't know what I was thinking. Rick Bucher, Fox Sports NBA analyst, joins us now on The Herd. Been covering the NBA since 1993. Also, is a podcast, On the Ball with Rick Bucher. Rick, Merry Christmas Eve. Thanks for joining us. It's a big slate of NBA games tomorrow. Which game are you most excited about tomorrow?
Has to be the Suns-Warriors, simply because they're the teams that have lived up to what we expected them to be this season, and the first two contests were interesting enough. All the other ones, there's one reason or another where I'm just kind of like, you know what? I might be able to get some things done on Christmas rather than parked on the couch watching games all day. Nets-Lakers is probably the next best, and not because of the contest, but simply because what are we going to see from Kyrie Irving? Are we going to see Kyrie Irving? How long are we going to see Kyrie Irving? There is an intrigue in that. The rest of the games, quite honestly, one way or another, somebody hasn't lived up to their billing, or they've been affected by COVID to a point. The Dallas Mavericks are the first team that comes to mind that I'm just not sure that this is going to be a reflection of who they are. So I will go Suns Warriors first, Nets Lakers next. And then, you know what, if I've got the TV on in the background and I'm doing other stuff with the family, I'm going to be okay.
Well, sticking with the Warriors, Steph Curry's having an unbelievable season and had another amazing performance last night. Do you think he should lead the MVP? Is he deserving of the MVP so far this season?
Joy, I can't put him as the leader. Is he in the mix? Does he have a shot, legitimate shot? Could he win it? Absolutely. I give you all of that. But I feel as if, and I've seen it said, like this is between Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. And, well, it should be, because Kevin Durant is right there doing things for the Brooklyn Nets that Steph Curry is doing for the Golden State Warriors. But we're forgetting Chris Paul. Look at where the Suns are with the best record in the league, or at least they were going into last night. And they've had Devin Booker out. They've had guys in and out, DeAndre Ayton, and yet they've kept it rolling. And I know the numbers and the splash of Chris Paul's game, no pun intended, is not the same as Steph Curry. But his leadership and his direction and what he's done with that team, the way he's brought it together and kept them going in spite of what could have been a hangover after getting to the finals last year and not getting there, an emotional hangover, I believe has to be recognized. So I'm good with Steph being there. If you want to just give him like the slight edge, the Kevin Durant toe on the 3-point line edge in the race, I'm okay with that. But to suggest that he is the clear favorite at this point, I do believe doesn't give justice to what KD, Chris Paul, and a few other guys are doing.
We're talking to Rick Bucher on The Herd. You mentioned Kyrie's return. What do you think of them bringing him back, and what are your expectations for him with this Nets team?
Joy, this is why the NBA employs about 800 lawyers, because they try to think of every eventuality in every situation that they can prepare for. And they just weren't expecting this one, where we were going to have a rash of absences. The Brooklyn Nets were not expecting where there was going to be this rash of absences, and then suddenly there could be justification for bringing Kyrie back as a part-time player. But now that everybody in the league is hiring part-time players, it's like, well, we got a pretty good one, like, in our employ. Why not give it a run? So it makes it awkward as far as where the league has stood on vaccinations and players playing who are not vaccinated. But I understand the circumstance. It is a difficult one. The big question is going to be, what exactly can Kyrie Irving do? Is he in any kind of shape? What is it going to look like to take a player, not an ancillary player, not a complimentary player, not a Joe Johnson type player who's happy to come in and play 6 or 7 minutes and get a shot, but a Kyrie Irving who is, last we saw, a bona fide star and would expect to get the touches and the shots that a star would get. Is he capable of living up to that, not having played all this time and presumably not being in game shape? I'm not sure how this is going to work, and I have my doubts that it's for sure going to be successful for the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, I mean, all these leagues are dealing with this crazy COVID, you know, breakout with this new variant, and coaches have had to deal with all kinds of different lineups. What are coaches telling you about the difficulty with everything that's going on right now?
Well, it just, you know, normally, look, the normal pattern for NBA head coaches, if you have a day between games, is the day before, you devise your game plan. And if you have a practice, you run through some of the things that you think are important, and you figure out your matchups. And then in the shoot around on game day, you kind of do a refresher. You walk through it. Everybody's got what they've got. You know what your minutes are going to be. You know what your starting lineup, your rotation, your substitution pattern. You have all of that in place. Well, now, because of the testing being ramped up, because of the rash of positive tests, now teams don't find out until 3 or 4 o'clock who has tested negative or positive. So they're going through their normal routine, and then a couple hours before the game, they're finding out, oh, so-and-so is out, this guy's out, and they have to change things on the fly. So you normally have that happen. You go in with your game plan, and then you have an injury, you have foul trouble, you have somebody who has it going, so you play them a little bit longer, you make adjustments. Well, now they're having to make adjustments, major adjustments, before they go into the game. And where we are now is, you know, at initially, they were going and they were getting guys that were in training camp with them. So they at least were familiar with the system and they were familiar with those players. Or they got guys who'd played for them previously. There was a level of familiarity. Now, they're going out and getting guys that they've never had before. They've never coached before, that have never played in their system before. And they're adding them in the mix in short order and trying to get them up to speed. So I don't know. It's like being an AAU kid. So a lot of people complain that the NBA has become AAU. Well, with this latest turn of events, it's really become AAU, even for the coaches.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's extremely difficult, but they've got to get through the season, and that's where we are right now with all these leagues. They're just continuously making adjustments. We're talking to Rick Bucher, Fox Sports NBA analyst on The Herd. So, Rick, you are the GM, the all-powerful GM of the Los Angeles Lakers. The great Los Angeles Lakers, right?
Really? Wait a minute. Joy, you couldn't pay me enough right now.
Okay, but let's say I could write a check for you to do that. All right, let's fantasize. You are that guy right now, or that woman, whoever, right? Like, you know, you're that person.
Person.
What can you do? What would you do to fix this lineup, to do anything to save this Lakers season where LeBron is playing entirely too many minutes, and it appears that this roster is not constructed to win a championship?
Do I get to use the DeLorean from Back to the Future?
Can't go back in time. You can only use the tools, money, and trade deadline that exists right now in the NBA. No DeLorean.
Yeah. I allow Frank Vogel to coach this team and utilize it in the best way possible and not give credence to, I have to play my stars a certain way or I have to play LeBron James a certain way. I am going to utilize all the pieces on my bench. That means if Russ Westbrook, if you're going to sit a fourth quarter or you're going to sit a half, you're going to sit a half. Carmelo Anthony, same thing. LeBron James, same thing. The idea going in adding the Talen Horton, or keeping the Talen Horton Tuckers and adding the Malik Monks and bringing back Dwight Howard and all of that was that you were going to utilize all of the pieces and mix and match. And quite honestly, I feel as if that has not happened. Russ Westbrook gets to play. Carmelo Anthony gets to play. Everybody gets to play regardless of how they are playing. And I just don't believe that this team can function or that you can get the most out of it if you approach it that way. I've got to go into my bench and play the guys who are playing the best and continue to play them. Sort of like Ty Lue did midway through the season last year with the Clippers. And we saw the profound change that had with the approach of not only the bench, but the starters. That's not happening. So to me, that's the only way you can squeeze the most out of this Lakers team. But Joy, you're really asking me to do the impossible, because I told you, I don't know if it was August. I don't know if it was September. It was October. I'm pretty sure I said it every one of those months. This is not a formula that I expected to work, because simply you're looking at the names and the accomplishments and not where they are at this stage of their careers and how they fit. And for all that LeBron James is giving you, and he's giving you everything that he that I think he possibly can at this point in his career, the whole idea was that Anthony Davis was going to be a monster. And, well, Russell Westbrook was going to become a more efficient player. And maybe Carmelo Anthony could, with an expanded role, be a little more than he was when we saw him in Portland. And Malik Monk and all the other additions were going to be able to add something. But the truth is, all of those pieces, I would say Russ Westbrook has actually been exactly what you would expect Russ Westbrook to be. Percentage-wise on his shooting, it's actually higher than it was last year. And three-point-wise, I think he's shooting higher than he has in his career. So as much as everybody wants to bag on Westbrook, I don't see that as the problem. Anthony Davis not playing up to what you wanted him to play and now being out. Carmelo Anthony not being as consistent as we saw him in Portland, or at least that I recall. Dwight Howard not being the Dwight Howard that we last saw in a Lakers uniform. So all of the things that had to go just right have gone all wrong. So you're asking me to fix something that I didn't think was going to work at its best to begin with, and now has gone the other direction. So Merry Christmas to you too, Joy.
Thank you, Rick. I think that's a good suggestion, though. I think that's actually a very realistic solve. If, you know,
it's the only one. Actually, I mean, you're asking me to draw. You're asking me to fix an impossible situation. That's the best I can do.
I think you did a good job, Rick. Well, thank you very much for joining us on Christmas Eve. Enjoy the holiday and be safe, Rick.
You got it.
Thank you to Rick Bucher, Fox Sports NBA analyst, for joining us there. You feel comfortable with his suggestion? You're a Lakers homer, LA native, Alex.
It's just so hard right now. It's anything. Just throw it up. See if it sticks. They need help.
He is right. LeBron is giving you everything that he can. Mm-hmm. I do think that the COVID situation has put everybody on alert and on pause. It's really hard to evaluate anything when you're dealing with all the injuries in the COVID situation, which no one's ever accused me of being an optimist, but I feel a little sense of optimism about how everybody is being flexible with all this.
Okay.
College football playoff committee aside, I think we're going to figure it out. Like, we've got a lot of smart people working on this. It's a rough time right now, but you know, as long as nobody panics, no panicking, I think we'll get through it and figure it out. And hopefully, you know, and after the holidays, because everyone's going to be seeing each other and this might go on for a couple more weeks, that it'll settle down and we'll get mostly back to normal, whatever normal means anymore.
Yeah.
Exactly. Joy Taylor filling in for Colin Cowherd today is with the family for the holidays alongside Alex Curry. We'll talk to Greg Jennings and MJ Acosta later in the show, but let's talk MVP. And I have an interesting suggestion for Coach of the Year.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team. A driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two, because as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcast. You find it.
Celebrate Christmas with a boom. Fox Sports proudly presents a documentary tribute to one of football's most beloved figures, the coach, the broadcaster, the video game. All Madden premieres Christmas Day at 2 Eastern on Fox.
Looking forward to that. Joy Taylor filling in for Colin Cowherd alongside Alex Curry. That's going to be a great documentary. Rinaldi almost had me crying talking about it.
I know, just seeing all the interviews leading up to it this week, those alone are incredible. So I can't wait to see the whole thing.
I love studying the greats and finding ties and connections to all of them, what they do, whatever it is that they do, whether it's, you know, Beyonce or Tom Brady, John Madden, you know, there's lots of goats.
Oh yeah.
But Michael Jordan, what it is that they all do that's the same. Because I want to do that.
Yeah.
But one thing that I do find with people like John Madden and those other names, and obviously there's many others, is like this insatiable passion for what it is that they do.
It's infectious.
Like John Madden still watches all the games on all these screens in his soundstage. But yes, they're just obsessed with it.
Yeah.
And I think greatness requires a bit of obsession. So we're filling in for Colin today. He's with the family for Christmas. Merry Christmas Eve to everyone. Thank you for hanging out with us today. So Tom Pelissero did a survey of some executives from 23 teams, 10 general managers, and obviously anonymously. And they gave out the awards so far. MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, Coach of the Year, Executive of the Year, and so forth. And some of them I agreed with, but I had some alternates for some of them. So Aaron Rodgers is my MVP this year. And it's switched around a lot this year, which has, it really hasn't been a very contentious conversation like it normally is, because it's been such a weird year with COVID and the injuries. Kyler Murray's out for 3 weeks. Tom Brady has a game like last week. I mean, even Aaron Rodgers was out for a week with COVID, and he's dealing with a toe injury, but he's been unbelievable. He leads the NFL in wins with 11 touchdown interception ratio, 30 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and passer rating of 110.4. He has the fewest giveaways amongst all qualified quarterbacks. He's the current favorite to win, according to Fox Bet, and the last player to win back-to-back MVPs was Peyton Manning in 2008 and 2009. And of course, the Packers have the best record in the NFL. So I know this has become a bit of a quarterback award. I do think Jonathan Taylor definitely deserves some recognition in this space. Patrick Mahomes, obviously Tom Brady as well. But this clearly seems like Aaron Rodgers' award, and the rest of their season is pretty light. They have the Browns this weekend, the Vikings and the Lions. So they could potentially finish 14-3. So he deserves the MVP, and I don't think there's anything that's going to happen in the next 3 weeks that's going to move anybody off of that. For Defensive Player of the Year, T.J. Watt was their suggestion for Defensive Player of the Year. I think Micah Parsons should win Defensive Player of the Year. He currently has the second-best odds, plus 250, to win Defensive Player of the Year, according to Fox Bet. One of the things that's kind of moved me off of T.J. Watt is that the Cowboys are a much better team than the Steelers. Now, this isn't going to be outrageous if T.J. wins it. He's had an unbelievable season and is certainly deserving. But the Cowboys are a better team. Micah has 12 sacks this season, leads all rookies in sacks and quarterback hits and pressures and forced fumbles and tackles for loss. He needs 2.5 more sacks to tie Javon Kurse's rookie record, and he's the only player with 10 plus sacks and 75 plus tackles this season. He's had an unbelievable year. He's a phenomenon. He's incredible to watch. I love the success that he's having so early in the NFL, but I think he is not only deserving of Defensive Rookie of the Year, but also Defensive Player of the Year. Offensive Rookie of the Year is Mac Jones. Leads all rookies in wins with 9. Completion percentage 69%. Passer rating 94.6. Passing yards and touchdown passes with 18. He's on pace to have the highest completion percentage by any rookie in NFL history. He has 6 games with 100 plus passer rating. He's obviously having a great season. I know everyone's pointing to, like, you know, they keep him limited. He's a rookie. What do we want to do? What do you mean? What are you talking about? Not only is it this Patriots offense is conservative in that space to begin with, he is doing everything in a very complicated system with a lot of pressure. I thought he was always, of all the rookies, going to the best situation, but he has far exceeded my expectations for him this year. I'm happy to be wrong about him. No, I don't think he's Tom Brady, but he deserves Offensive Rookie of the Year, and he's playing really well and deserves some recognition for it. So let's talk about Coach of the Year. So they have Bill Belichick, which is perfectly acceptable. Bill's pretty good. But I think we always ignore Matt LaFleur. I think it's time to give Matt LaFleur some flowers. Right? They're the best team in the league right now. They've overcome a lot. It's not just that it's Aaron Rodgers. And I think with Aaron Rodgers-led teams, we default to it's Aaron Rodgers and it's not the coach. It's the third straight NFC North title under Matt LaFleur. By the way, he manages this whole Aaron Rodgers situation, which is an award in itself. Because that couldn't be me. I have no patience for any kind of drama anymore. No capacity for it. It's run out. My last nerve is shot. I can't do it. The Packers have the best record in the NFL. LaFleur is the highest winning percentage. LaFleur is one win away from tying George Seifert for the most wins by a head coach through his first 3 seasons. And they're co-favorites to win the Super Bowl, according to Fox Bet, along with the Chiefs. Like, it's not just Aaron Rodgers, as incredible as Aaron Rodgers has been. I do think that Matt LaFleur deserves some credit. He's had an incredible season. He's built quite a resume for himself, and I would have him for Coach of the Year. Executive of the Year, I think Jerry Jones deserves some credit.
Whoa.
Cowboys clinched. Yeah. Not clinched, but they can clinch this weekend. They're in the playoffs now. They clinched a playoff spot. It's the second team to clinch a berth this season. Micah Parsons, unbelievable. Obviously not this year, but CeeDee Lamb, Trevon Diggs, Tony Pollard, Michael Gallup. He's made some great moves. They're currently the second seed in the NFC. 5 Pro Bowlers this season. I think Jerry's done a great job. Obviously, finally figured out that Dak Prescott situation. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you. If I had to talk about Dak Prescott's money one more time, I think he deserves some credit. They've done a really nice job this year. I don't know what's going to happen in the postseason, but I think Matt LaFleur and Jerry deserve some credit. Let's get to Alex Curry with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
I'm with you on the coach and the executive. Great points there.
Thank you.
Yeah, not something I thought about before. I'm like, yeah, you're right. Now, you mentioned the Chiefs. Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill are two of the Chiefs currently on the COVID list. There's still a chance they could clear protocol in time to play against the Steelers on Sunday. Patrick Mahomes is very hopeful that it will happen, but knows the rest of the team will be ready to step up if those two aren't back. Take a listen.
There's obviously some routes and stuff like that that Tyreek can trap and run that no one else in this world really can. But really, I mean, we just went out there and put a game plan together, trusting these guys to make plays happen. We got the guys to do it. We got the speed. We got the playmakers. And I'm going to keep trusting in them. And hopefully we have Trav and Tyreek back. But if not, we'll be ready to go.
This is the reality we're in right now. We are hearing more people get COVID than not. If he doesn't have his two-star targets, it's a big deal. But I think the bigger story is if they pull off a win and he doesn't have them, it just kind of adds to the Patrick Mahomes greatness. And you can kind of put the beginning of the season struggles behind you.
I think they're at the point, and Nick mentioned this earlier, like not having those guys out there is obviously huge.
Yeah.
But what does this team look like without them?
Mm-hmm.
Are they, to your point, able to put to rest everything that happened earlier in the seasons, all the questions they had about them? They still have Mecole Hardman, Byron Pringle, Josh Gordon, and they are still a very talented team offensively, but they've been winning with their defense.
Mm-hmm.
So this Pittsburgh defense has TJ Watt, is a high-level, complicated defense. Offense, not so much. But I want to see, I think this is interesting. I want to see what they do without their stars. Obviously, nobody wants to watch teams without stars. Obviously, ideally, we'd want them out there. And this is a bad situation we're all dealing with. But we are dealing with it. So everyone has had to overcome this in some way this season, injuries in some way this season, and the Chiefs are the latest. And I'm actually interested to see how they fare against that Pittsburgh defense.
And they have Patrick Mahomes. And as you saw, he's very calm and has a great attitude about it. And he's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
He's Patrick. Okay, let's move to the Seahawks. They'll finish with a losing record for the first time since Russell Wilson took over as their quarterback. The offense struggled a lot this season, even before Wilson was forced to miss time with a finger injury. And Pete Carroll says the team as a whole needs to pick things up.
We got to be better in all phases is the first thing. And it's not just one guy. I know that it took Russ time to get back after the time off, you know, and it wasn't quite the same. And he could still play and do well and do lots of things, but he just had to work his way through it. I think it's a little bit of everything, you know. We gotta be better in all ways, you know. I think it's been a challenge in that regard, you know, physically.
I think it's time to admit that Pete and Russ just might not be a great fit anymore. We got a glimpse into the tension this offseason when Russ finally spoke up. But at this point, it might be better for Russ's career to force a trade because he has another 2 years on his contract and just kind of go their separate ways. It's not working.
Everything comes to an end. Look, they had a rough go this season.
Yeah.
And Russ getting injured really derailed everything. I think he probably came back too early.
Mm-hmm.
They were mysteriously still in the playoff hunt for a while.
Yeah.
So it's been a down year. Like, it happens. I'm kind of with you. I think we've seen it year after year, and it's sort of started to tail off.
It's time.
The situation with the Seahawks. Now, again, as you mentioned, he's going to have to force a trade. If I'm the Seahawks, I'm not even thinking about this. Until he comes in the room and says, you must trade me, I'm not playing here anymore, I'm not doing anything. I'm not trading Russell Wilson, a future first ballot Hall of Famer, still in his prime, for anything. I'm not even thinking about it. Whatever we got to do to retool around him is what we're doing here. And I don't think that they're going to move off of Pete Carroll either. But, Russell Wilson's kind of at a space where he needs to make these kind of decisions. And if he does force his way out, I don't see him going to a small market. Like, he's going to want to go somewhere where it's not necessarily the most talent, but it's a different environment. So I could see him. I mean, we talked about it, obviously, at the beginning of the season when there were some rumors out there. It was the Saints, which is probably still on the board because they don't have their quarterback. Possibly Miami. I mean, I like Tua, but if Russell Wilson's trying to come there,
what do you do?
They're probably going to do that. You have the Giants. Like, there are some options out there. I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know if Russ is going to force that or just play out what this current situation is, but it's bleak.
It's going to be a tough 2 years if he stays. But let's move to Lamar Jackson, who still has not returned to practice since injuring his ankle nearly 2 weeks ago. This leaves his status very uncertain for the Ravens' big divisional matchup Sunday with the Bengals. Now, backup Tyler Huntley stepped in last week and played well despite losing to the Packers, and he has taken all first-team reps in practice this week and is in line to get his second start. Now, if the playoffs started right now, the Ravens are on the bubble. They are not in it. The Bengals are. They are right above them. Same record, but they have that number one spot. This is a huge divisional game. Not an ideal time to be without your number one quarterback.
Nope, that's why it's in my favorite five. This is a huge, huge game, huge AFC North matchup for all the reasons you just mentioned. I think Tyler Huntley did a nice job last week, but obviously Lamar Jackson is a step up. They want to try and get him back, but this is one we're going to watch up to the minute to see what happens. That's Alex Curry with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Greg Jennings next on The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd on The Herd on a beautiful Christmas Eve alongside Alex Curry. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Hope you're being safe. Hope you're at home enjoying a nice mid-afternoon cocktail and all of the craziness is over for you already. Let's go out to Greg Jennings, Fox Sports NFL analyst, Super Bowl champ, 10 seasons in the NFL. Hello, Greg. Greg, I teased at the beginning of the show that yesterday, I thought of you yesterday because I knew you were coming on the show today and I was out doing some last-minute errands and I got the staff cupcakes for breakfast. And as I was buying them, I was like, Greg Jennings would not approve of this breakfast.
No.
When was the last time you had a cupcake?
I would like to say on either my daughter's birthday.
Okay.
Which was December 1st.
Wow, that's
But it was post my season, my competition season was over. It had literally just ended about 2.5 weeks earlier. So
did you do an extra workout to work off the cupcake, or you just enjoyed yourself?
No, I just enjoyed it. It's not a big deal. I mean, people make it seem like, oh my gosh, no cupcake. I mean, it's just when I'm in prep, that will throw off everything. So I can't dive into that realm of things. And I'm not a sweets person anyway, so it's not a learned discipline.
I bought the staff cupcakes and I bought two separate ones for myself, which I will eat later. Merry Christmas Eve to you and the family. So we've got a big, fun weekend of NFL games coming up. It was kind of a weird weekend last week, but I want to start with, I just gave out my awards for the season and I gave my coach of the year to Matt LaFleur, who I think is a bit overlooked. What do you think about that? Do you think that we give a little too much credit to Aaron Rodgers? Because I also think that, and deservedly so, but I also think that Matt LaFleur deals with all of the Aaron Rodgers drama.
Yeah, so for me, I think Aaron Rodgers does deserve a lot of the credit. And Matt LaFleur is getting to the point of where he can deserve the credit as long as he remains consistent when it comes to winning. I think when I look at coaches and what makes a great coach and when should a coach start getting credit? Well, Mike McCarthy, he inherited Brett Favre as a quarterback. Then he inherited Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback. So one would say, well, Mike McCarthy, was he really a great coach or was it a byproduct of his great quarterback play? But then he goes on and he wins a Super Bowl. So then you have to now consider him great coach. Because not any coach can take any team to win a Super Bowl regardless of their quarterback talent. And so for me, Matt LaFleur, he's done a tremendous job. I think he does deserve more credit, but I think more credit will come if he's able to at least even get to the Super Bowl and have a Super Bowl appearance attached to his already stellar coaching career and wins-loss record.
So Amari Cooper talked this week about how he wants more targets. He feels like the offense is not performing to the level that they should be, but they're winning and they just clinched a playoff spot last night. So is this a wide receiver thing? Because it sounds a lot more I than we, and it feels a little bit unnecessary because it's okay to win ugly in December, I believe.
Okay, so this is not just receiver bias. I agree with Amari Cooper. I do think he has been underused. They obviously know how important he is, and he comes in clutch in big moments when he's needed most. But you sometimes can take a guy like Amari Cooper for granted because he doesn't speak up. He doesn't say the things that most people are already thinking in terms of this offense struggling and why they're struggling. And when you feel as strongly as Amari Cooper does, and CeeDee Lamb and Ezekiel, all these talented guys, but Amari Cooper specifically, as you're one of the reasons why we could be better, and we could be, even though we're winning, we could be much more improved as an offense and more explosive, then you're going to say something because you feel like that is just who I am. My competitive nature won't allow me to just continue to keep my mouth shut if you're not going to use me. And then on top of that, and I'll stop, when you're making the amount of money that Amari Cooper is making, you know the talent, you know the criteria, you know the expectation. You want to live up to that and exceed it. You don't want to fall short of what teams are thinking, of what your expectations are, and what you feel like you can provide to your offense and that offensive unit. So I don't mind Amari Cooper saying this. I know it comes at a time where they're winning and it's like, wait, we're on a playoff run, we just clinched, but it's needed. Maybe it'll spark because it's a guy that typically doesn't say much.
We're talking to Greg Jennings, a guy that we don't really talk about too much when we talk about the top wide receivers in the league. It's having an unbelievable season, and now some people are talking about should be in the conversation for MVP is Cooper Kupp. Why do we sort of overlook him, but we don't mention him when we talk about the Devontae Adams and the DeAndre Hopkins or the Amari Coopers of the league?
Because he's white. Period. There is no getting around it. I played with Jordy Nelson, and we used to tell Jordy all the time, Jordy, go out here and ball. They will get underestimated. They will get overlooked because when we think of the great receivers in this modern era, they're not white. But Cooper Kupp does it every single week. Jordy did it every single week. Adam Thielen has done it. Like, it's no longer what you look like. It's what you provide. And Cooper Kupp provides a great asset to not only Sean McVay, but to Matthew Stafford. And I think receivers overall get overlooked, specifically white receivers like Cooper Kupp, because we're dependent on a quarterback to make those throws, to be consistent, to be great. And if we're having a tremendous year, that tends to already highlight the most prolific or the most storied faces of forever football, which is the quarterback. And then they say, well, this quarterback is special. Matthew Stafford is having a tremendous year. Aaron Rodgers is having a tremendous year. And so that's why I believe quarterback or receivers get overlooked. But in this particular instance, I've been in the receivers room and in a locker room with Jordy Nelson. We knew teams and DBs and coaches were going to overlook them until you continually did it over and over again year after year.
So Green Bay feels like the most solid team in the league right now, even though they're still dealing with some injuries. Who is the team in the AFC that you're most afraid of?
This is tough for me. I even with the loss that the Patriots had, I like the Patriots. I like the Patriots because I don't believe that they will friendly fire like they did last week. And I didn't think that they would have that type of blow up. I didn't think Mac Jones would have that type of performance. But then again, you think about him being a rookie, and it's like, okay, let's get him some, cut him a little bit of slack, but Bill Belichick will forever have his team prepared. And anytime you're going against a defense that can get stops and all you're asking your offense to do is score about 14 points a game, you have a chance. And I just believe that that team is one that will be scary in the playoffs.
Thanks so much for joining us today, Greg. Merry Christmas to you and the family. Hope you have an amazing weekend.
Absolutely. Take care. Merry Christmas to you.
Thanks.
Guys.
Thanks. Eat lots of cupcakes.
Of course.
Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd today on The Herd alongside Alex Curry. MJ Acosta is joining us in about 15 minutes. We'll get her thoughts on the NFL weekends. Later in Best for Last, I'll give out my Christmas gifts. I have some good ones, put lots of thought into this. And coming up, Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners didn't get the win last night, but I'm still feeling really good about his future in the NFL. It's The Herd.
Last season, on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.